Last week we started talking about Avraham. You remember that I said last week that perhaps it might be a good idea to spend a few weeks on discussing the Ovos to get a better handle on the Ovos, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. We've learned it so often, but it seems to me that much of the time we read things superficially, and maybe it pays. Maybe not so much. I don't even know whether I'm right in this, but it could be not so much that we should have the yediyas, because I mean the yediyas. I guess you can be an El Chayit if you don't have some of the yediyas, which I'm going to touch on today in the shiur. On the other hand, it's the Rabban Hashem's Torah. And at the very least, I think we should be awake enough to ask the questions which we're going to ask. I mean, they're very obvious questions. So let's see. So you can look at this shiur today as either a sort of continuation of the Ovos series, or it can be a shtickel mussar lesson to all of us that we have to be careful the way we read the Chumash. If you all had the same Ha'oros which I had, I have to tell you this cost me quite a couple of hours to work this all out. And even now that I've worked it out, kind of, I can't say that I know big Yesodos today, which I didn't know yesterday. I know a lot more than I didn't know yesterday, that's true. But how big the Yesodos are, I don't know. But Kitzer, after all the Hakdomah now, and I hope you understand what I'm saying, it's an issue. It's an issue. I find a lot where a simple word that the Torah uses, it's that a tiny little word like that, it's koilel in it whole sugyas and big yesoidas. We have to learn more carefully. That's my personal opinion. I want to talk today about this Ohel story. Yeah, everybody knows the Rashi. I'm sure nobody has ever forgotten the Rashi, that by Avraham it says, here I have it here. Vayatek, this is in Lech Lecha, and it's in Perek Yud Beis Posok Ches. Vayatek Mishom Hahora, Mikedem Leves El, Vayet Oholo,
So everybody knows that it spells Oholo there, not with the Vof at the end, which would be the ending for masculine, but with a He.
So the Nikud is a stereo to that in a little bit, because if it has a He at the end, we would have expected Oholo, her Ohel. But we read it Oholo, his Ohel. But then it shouldn't have a hay at the end, but it should be a vav at the end. That's the masculine ending for the possessive. So everybody knows that Avraham was Mesada her Ohel first. Technically, within the loshen of the Chumash over here, that is a problem. Rav Shamshon for his points that out. The whole pasuk goes like this: Vayaatek misham hohora. That means Vayaatek, he moved from where his oil had been before. Vayaatek misham, he left the hohora to go towards the mountain. Mikedem leves el vayet oholo, with the hay. Now here you have a problem, because Vayaatek is in the masculine. It's not a feminine form. If it would be feminine, it would be ta'atek. Yeah? A'atek, ta'atek, ya'atek, right? So, and in the third person, the feminine form is with a tof. So how does that stem? The vaya'atek is in the masculine, and the oholo is in the feminine. So what's going on over there? So Rav Shamshvel Hirsch has a whole shtickel Torah there about the relationships of men and ladies, which is a very, very big topic, as you know, in Klal Yisrael.
what exactly is the function of the husband, what exactly is the function of the wife. So he says over here, based on this inconsistency, ke'ilu, that it starts with the masculine and ends with the feminine form, although that's only in the ksiv, not in the kri. So he says, because the fact is that a husband and wife have different functions within a well-balanced home. So the question of moving, we're going to move, and where are we going to move? In other words, the control ke'ilu of the household, that seems to be the function of the husband. I mean, the husband is the, you know, the lashon of the Rambam is the yir beineo kesar umelach, yeah, misaleches betavas liba, like the sar and melach of the house keilu is the husband more than the wife. So the decision to move and take their dwelling from there wherever it had been. And that we're going to go now, Vayatech, we're going to pack up Misham Hohora, Mekedem Levesel, Vayet Olo. But now we're going to settle in a new place. So that means that this new place has to be made livable and has to be a home. And that's where we're going to have to live. So setting up the home as a home is more the wife's job than the husband's. So that's how it deals with the change from the masculine to the feminine, although of course we have to be aware that the feminine here is also only in the ksiv, in the kri, we read oholo. It's all very, very problematic, I think. But that's what Rosh Hashanah here says. Now, the fact is that there's a lot more to be said, and this I must blushingly confess to you. I wasn't even aware of the following, but that's what I meant before. From this shiur, I'm supposed to make a shiur, and I'm trying not to make a fool of myself. But there's so much that I don't know, and it's nishke grosse lamdas. It's not the pshat that I'm not a big lamda, and that's anyway true probably. But what's over here? The Heine. Let's go to Bereshis. Tess. Oh, yeah. So here. Noach, vahibne Noach hayotze min hatevo, shem chom v'yofes, v'chom hu avi k'noan. Shlosha eile bnei Noach, umeile nofza oretz, vayochel Noach isho adomo, vayiten korem, vayesht min hayayin, vayishko, vayisgal besoich, oholoi. How do you spell oholoi? Hey at the end, but with a cholam, I mean with a dot indicating the cholam, not with the commas under the lamed. Not well, then it would be for lady oholo or oholo with a vav, but oholo with a hey, but vowelized, if that would be a word, to as oholo is the same irregularity which we have over here. So what's that going to be, Hestus? I mean, what you're going to bring Mrs. Noach into this also? I mean, it's sad enough the way it's going. So vayiskal besoch oholo. So what are you going to say? I mean, Rashi doesn't say that. Chazal don't say that this oholo, that since in the feminine, that shows that this and this and this about his drunkenness. I don't know of a Chazal like that. But you have over here oholo in the same form as by us. And by us, it becomes a drosha that he first set up Sora's tent. And I think that the two Mahalchim in the Mefoshim, one of them because of Tzniyas, like what should he first set up his own tent? So where's Sora going to be in the meantime? She's going to be there with all the people staring at her. So he quickly made her Oihel first. Or because either because of Sneers or because of Kavdeo Yosem Igufa, to be Mechabit her. Yeah? The Chazal and Rambam brings it, Oyavo Kagufa, Mechabdeo Yosem Igufa, that a husband has to be Mechabit the wife. So that would be the Pshat by us, by Avram. He put up her tent first. Now it's Chazal Amrdayek that he put up her tent first. There are different shittas about what made him do that. That could be either because of tzniyas, or it could be because to be mechabed her. But by Noach, I don't think we have either of these cheshbonos. I mean, it's such a sad story anyway. But so what's this Ohalo doing over here? I mean, over here, to the best of my knowledge, there's no chazal. Now, I don't know. I didn't do a search on this Behemoth. But I don't remember. I don't recall. I don't think Rashi says anything over there regarding that. So maybe he does. I don't know. But Vayiskol b'soich Ohalo. Then there are others. I think we'll be mentioning some of the others. I'll tell you over here what I really think, because there is no, at least I could not pin down an actual system where this is chosen or that is chosen. It does at least superficially look that there's no actual system. You don't see that that the four or five cases where we're going to see that this issue arises, they're in no way similar to each other. I'll tell you what I think. What I think is that vayet oholo, what I think it means, is that it's an idiom. It's not a literal translation. In other words, Vayet Olo means he let down his roots. He made this home. I mean, that's no different than millions of other idiomatic expressions that we have in every language, I imagine, certainly in English and certainly in Lashon HaKodesh. So that I think is the emes. That it's not a literal account of what this or that person. We've talked now of Avraham and Noach. We're going to hit Yitzchak, and we're going to hit Yaakov also, Mirza Hashem. But I don't think that it's meant to be taken literally. It's meant to be taken as a like a letting down your roots. Yeah, he's sort of saying to his household, here, listen, we've arrived. We're not going to go off tomorrow anymore. Yeah, we're going to be here for a while. Let's sit down. Let's make it comfortable. Let's get organized. That's vayet ohalo. That's what I think it means. Now, I can't prove that to you, but it just the way it appears the whole time, it does seem, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But let's put it this way. If I'm wrong, at least it there's nothing terrible about it, because it could be an idiom. I don't see why not. So now, if we're going to have such an idiom, so to whom are we going to be miyachas this thing? So thinking of the Shamsul Falesh, which I quoted a few minutes ago, that as far as the home is concerned, the ladies know what I'm thinking of, her sphere of influence, right? That it's she who's doing that. So if such an idiom developed, so I don't see why it cannot be that the people sort of naturally, because of what they held, because of the culture in which they lived, that they chose to use the feminine form. Even though, like, legally it's the husband's job, like I say, he's the Baal Habayis, and therefore it's really got a masculine ending, but it doesn't put the Wolf there, because the Wolf would make it a totally masculine thing, and in fact it's really a feminine thing. So therefore a compromise, yeah, and said, look, let's write it in the feminine form, because really it's the lady's concern, and we'll do it like that. That is, I think, a mistavadika kind of thing. If you don't agree, you're perfectly welcome to disagree, because I didn't see it anywhere. It's no Rishon says it, no, as far as I know, no Achron says it either. I just don't know, but it makes sense to me. Now, and incidentally, the fact is that it does seem that the Torah itself lets us know that the making a home is the wife's prerogative, not the husband's. Now, unless I'm making a wrong diuk, but it seems to me that the Torah says that by Yinochem Yitzchok acharei imo. Yeah, so he went to Oyelo Soro imo, and he was Vayinochem. And because now Rivka was installed there, and that was in Nechama. And Rashi, the famous Rashi, we all know it, says because as long as Sora was alive, there was a Ner Doilek Me'erev Shabbos Le'erev Shabbos, and a Brocha Metzuyu B'Isra. And what was the other thing? Ner Doilek Me'erev Shabbos Le'erev Shabbos, Brocha Metzuyu B'Isra, and... I can't think of it. I bet you all know it, and I know that in 2 minutes it'll come into my own mind also. But you know what I'm talking about. So you see that whether it's a brocha metzuyah be'isa or whether it's a ner doilek me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos, is the wife's prerogative. It was in Sora's tent. And when Sora died, it stopped. Now when Rivka came, it came back. So the brocha metzuyah be'isa and the ner doilek me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. Can some of you tell me what the third thing is? All right, let's not waste time on it. It's the woman's thing. So that is really how I understand it. As I say, that vayet o'loi does not mean literally he set up his tent, but it means he set up home. He set up. All right, home. That's not the word I'm thinking of, but what can I do? So that's number one, and I will understand that. And therefore, the Noach thing is not a problem. Yeah, Oholoi, people talked about home. So what's the loshen again? Vayochel noach ish v'adoma v'yita korem v'yesh min hayayin v'yishko v'yiskal besoch oholo. We would say, right, like he made himself at home. Obviously, he wouldn't have done this, like getting shikha and not covering himself. Yeah, he wouldn't have done that if he would have been unshikha. And it's the kind of thing which you would do in your own Dalai Lamas. That I mean, I hope you wouldn't do it, but if somebody's going to do it, I could understand that in his mind what he's doing is vayiskal besoch oholoi. Yeah, I wouldn't do this on the outside. I wouldn't see it where people see me, but this is where I belong. Yeah, this is the Hamish a place where I can do what I want. It's a terrible tragedy, but that's must have been what's going on in his mind somehow. And Memele, it could be that is why the Torah uses Oholoi over there. What should it have said? Oholoi with a vav, yeah. But it's not. Like I'm sure he made his wife very, very, very unhappy if the fact that this happened. I assume that she found out about it. The Torah doesn't say it, but I imagine that they were living together, so it's a terrible tragedy. But the psychology which makes it possible could be that would explain it over here. Now, why by Avraham did the Chazals feel that it's worth making a drosh out of it? That he put up Sora's tent first. Right, so maybe that's just because that was the idiom. So then maybe it's not a stira that vayetak is in the masculine and vayet oloi is in the masculine, or the feminine, depends, is in the feminine. So it's nishkin kasha, he used the idiom. So I think that makes sense. The question is, though, so Chazal dashed it, but why didn't they dashed it? If that's the idiom, maybe it's the idiom. So that's why it says it like this. So on that, I think I have a shtickle answer, but I don't know. You see, what I'm saying in this shir is all really conjecture. There's very little over here in this year in which I can say that I have an actual raya, that this is so. I don't really. But the facts are true. That much I do know. By Yitzchak, in chapter Chavov, Posuk Chav, hey. Let me see if I can find it. Now, just one second. Okay, I've got some things over here, and I don't remember what I put them in for. So let's go to the next one. Oh, Lamed He, Chof He. No, Chof Vov, Chof He, I'm sorry. Chof Vov. Oh, by Yitzchak. Vayevelov Hashem v'laylahu v'yom anoch elokei Avrom uvicho altiro ki itcho anoichi uveirachticho v'yabes yizaracho b'avu Avrom avdi. Vayiven shom mizbeach v'yikro b'shem Hashem v'yet shom oholo with a vof. So by Yitzchak, it says Oholo with a vof. But then in Lamed Gimel Yutes, like I told you, there doesn't seem to be any real consistency. And I don't know. I don't know how to treat that. Maybe there are people in Ezra, maybe. I don't know. I didn't look. Maybe somebody does talk about it. But over here in Lamed Gimel Yutes, Lamed Gimel Yutes. Oh, Vayovo Yaakov Sholem Ir Shechem, Asher Be'eretz Kenan, Bevoy Mipad Naram, Vayichon Es Pnei Ho'ir. He didn't go into the city. He made his dwelling outside the city. Vayichon Es Chelkas Hasode Ashanoto Sham Oholo with a vof. Miyad b'nei chamar avi shechem b'meyo ksito. So he has also Ohola with a vav. So we have Yitzchak Ohola with a vav, and we have Yaakov Ohola with a vav. Although, where, once, maybe this is what it is. One second. Where Sorgo dies, where's that? That's in Vayishlach, no? So it says he buried her baderach, and then a few psukim later, it mentions Soros Kever with the hay, Ohola. So in Yaakov we see that after he buried Soron, the keva is mentioned in the what I'm called the idiomatic way, Ohola with the hay. Mashenken, when he buys the chelkas hasode from the bnei ches, was it bnei ches? Yeah. So it says Ohola. So what's going on there? So I have what I think is a shtickel mahalach, but I haven't got any eyes. See, it could be. See, I don't know the psychology and the usage of 2,000 years ago. It's difficult to know how they talked and what attitude. Let's say that I'm right, that it's an idiom. Now, I can understand, although I have absolutely no proof that it is so, but I can understand that it could be that Gehoibene mentioned didn't use idioms. I mean, an idiom is like a lazy man's thing. Somebody thinks it up, some guy in a pub, and somebody picks it up, and it gets talked, and so it sort of
makes its way through the people. But it could be that a responsible person who talks language as the way language should be used wouldn't use it so easily. So if that were so, then I could understand really what's happening over here. Yitzhak, yeah, Yitzhak's Ohola. Yeah, he could have said Ohola. The Torah could have said Ohola, but Yitzhak didn't talk that way. He talks like a gehybner person, and the gehybner person talks the correct language, and the correct language is Ohola, not Ohola. By Yitzhak, I don't know that there is any other Oholos. So that would I would understand that. So I would say that by Yaakov, it could also be the same thing, that Yaakov Be'etzem would say naturally, he would say Ohola, and not with the hay. Oh, but in the after Rochel's death, right? So then his emotions were still taking over. Like this is two or three psukim after the fact that he buried her. So I would understand very well if he would have said Ohola with Kila with the hay, that he would have used the idiom, because she died. His beloved wife died just now, and she's lying in a kever, and she's lying all alone. And an unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh with the idea that she has to be in place to be mespalel for the Eneklach. This is a very, very emotionally grabbing moment that he would feel emotionally sad and he's maybe crying, and so at that point the idiom becomes useful because it expresses his feelings very, very much more than it would be if he would say However, later on, when he comes back, Shavayova Yaakov Sholem Yeshachem, I mean, all that is past him, so then he talks correctly again. So when it comes to the Ohola, that he bought the sting from Ches. So, Ohola. So it becomes Ohola. That's what I think. That could take care of all these various usages. For me, the important part of this year, if there is any important part to this year, I would say that is to know that there's issues. It's a terrible thing. I didn't know any of this. Believe me, if you didn't know it either, at least I'm in good company. But I didn't know. I knew that Rashi about that that he put her tent, Osoro's tent up first, and that's it. No, my man, that's all I knew. The fact that the home is touched in the from the Mabot of the Isha, I think that is something which the Isha in Judaism has an enormous chashivas which men don't have. Shams Vodesh makes a big issue out of that, and the fact is that you see that in the name changes. Yeah, when the Rebbeinu Shem in Lech Lecha told after he told him about the bris, ani hine brisi etoch v'yisa la'av haman goyim. We talked about that in the last year, what it means la'av haman goyim. V'lo yikore oid es shimcho avram v'ho yoshimcho avroham. Now that is a touch that the new name is replacing the old name. V'lo yikore oid es shimcho avram v'ho yoshimcho avroham. Ki avam goyim nesaticha,
And Chag Gemara says that if you call Avraham Avram, so you're over Belavo, I say whatever the Gemara says over there. Lo yikore oida shimcho Avram, v'ho yishimcho Avram, ki Avram en goyim nisaticho. So that is with Avraham. A few psukim later, we have the following. Vayom Elokim el Avraham, that's in Otsa in Lech Lecha, Perek Yud Zayin, Posuk Tesvov. Vayom Elokim el Avraham, Sorai Ishtecha, Lo Sikro Es Shema Sorai, Ki Soro Shema. It's not a new name. He's saying that Sorai was a misnomer. Really, Soro Shema. In other words, Avraham had to be changed. That means Avraham is a higher madrega than Avram. And the possibilities of what it might mean and so on, we talked about in last week's shiur. Maybe you heard it, maybe you thought about it, but that is certainly so. So the point is that the Rabbi Nishon said, you should know that I'm changing your name. You are bigger than that original name implied. And because you're bigger than that original name implied, so we're going to change your name. Masha'en came by Soro, she was always a Soro. She was always an aristocrat. She was always a person who had a kingly demeanor about her, a queenly demeanor about her. And people understood from Soro, the way she acted and the way she was, that she's the kind of lady whom one puts the tent up for first. If it's tzniyas, it's tzniyas. If it's covered, it's covered. But that is what it is. Mechabdeu yosem igufa. And Shashavah says that what's the pshat? That why is taka mechabdeu yosem igufa? So he says that the mechabdeu yosem igufa is because her name change was not a name change. I mean, it was a name change. But it was a gilui that was always what she was, and that the original Sorai was taka not correct. So we have a little some yesoidus over here. But again, allow me to say it. I hope I'm not boring you now. Certainly, I don't want to be offending you. Should there be any among you listeners who was not oimed on all these various places, as a couple of hours ago I was part of that group. So please forgive me, but I think that there's a mussar to be taken over here, to be more aware of the lashonos which the Torah uses. Kulam ahuvim, kulam beruvim, kulam givorim. That is what the Torah is, and it is demanded of us that we treat it with respect, even if it's not a big lamdish ezach. But it's a poshut, like to understand the MS of the Torah. And I think that I'm not saying that what I said in the shiur today is MS. I don't know. I mentioned that now a few times. Could be MS, maybe, could be not. But that's not the vod. The vod is not whether Moshe Eisenman got the right pshat over here. The vod is that there is an MS which generates, that's not the word I'm thinking of, but which generates these differences, that there it says like this, and there it says like that. I think you find them all in the Rishonim, that Ibn Ezra says, the Torah is not makbed you. Sometimes it leaves out the world, sometimes it says this, sometimes it says that. I don't know to what extent we should, I don't know, I can't quote you now where he says it. I think he says it somewhere. If he does, I think that the way we are taught today, at least by our Rabbeim, is not that way. The things don't just happen in the Torah. It's the Rafron, it's the Torah. So this is a marshal of the amount of thought which can be stimulated by reading the Torah carefully.